I wanted to begin by sharing a reading on the subject of fear, which is the subject of the message today. Fear is one of the most powerful influences on our lives. It plays a major role in how we see ourselves, make decisions, connect in our relationships, perform at work, and more. Fear exists at different levels of our consciousness, so we may not even be fully aware of what we're afraid of, or that we're experiencing fear at all. Most people think their fears are just a part of who they are and can't be changed. However, when you understand the sources of your fears and identify them, how they affect you, you can move past them and do things you never thought possible. Overcoming fear is the key to your work performance, time management, relationships, and most other aspects of your life. Stop fear in its tracks and have the life you want. I'd like for us, before we begin the message, to spend just a few minutes in meditation and preparation. Just be wherever you are in your quiet space that makes you most comfortable for you to share in a moment of silence. So let me ask you this question: what are you afraid of? That's rhetorical. You don't have to answer that right now. But in a moment, I'm going to ask you again. A few years ago, I was sitting at my desk, working hard, trying to concentrate on writing an article for a magazine headquartered in Spokane, when all of a sudden I heard a loud yelling voice. I jumped up, walked into the hallway, and found one of my coworkers standing there shouting loudly, "There's a spider in my office! There's a spider in my office!" In the short conversation that followed, I asked him, "What kind of spider and where is it?" "It's huge," he said, "and it's on my desktop." When I asked if he wanted me to go and get it, he backed up, wrapped his arms around himself, and said, "Yes, go get it." So, not having a fear of spiders, I walked into his office and glanced at his desk, where I saw a spider about the size of a ladybug. So taking a Kleenex out of my pocket, I reached down and picked it up, took it out into the hallway to show him. Without a moment's hesitation, he literally ran into the men's restroom, yelling, "Kill it! Kill it!" So it did, and threw the Kleenex into the trash can. And never since that time, every time I hear the words fear, that scene always comes to my mind. I suppose I'm fortunate that I do not have a fear of insects. I grew up in the South, and every day was full of insects. And I don't have a fear of snakes. I don't want to own one, but I'm not afraid of them, or any other kind of source of anxiety that so many people have. And if I ask you what you were afraid of, what would you say? And that's not rhetorical. That's to ask you, what are you afraid of? Well, fear, believe it or not, is a common emotion for all of us. But the source of that fear has a myriad of options. I don't know if you're aware, but there are actually 7 common emotions that all of us experience at some time in our lives. And those include fear, of course, but also includes anger, disgust, surprise, happiness, sadness, and contempt. Things that all of us have experienced all of our lives. So for today's message, I just wanted to focus on one of those, and that is fear. Where does fear come from? Normally, it arises when we feel a threat of harm, whether that's a physical, emotional, or psychological threat. Fear can be both real and imagined. Usually, we associate fear with the negative light, but fear can also be imagined. When we experience fear, there are a few factors that determine the level of intensity that we feel it. And those include these three things. How serious is the harm that you feel threatened by? Is that harm urgent, immediate, or in the future? What can you do to reduce or eliminate the fear or the threat? Each time you and I can cope with the fear or threat, that will lessen or remove the fear. However, it's when we feel helpless in eliminating the fear that it intensifies. There are many sources of fear, such as some people are afraid of the dark. Some people are afraid of heights. Some people are afraid of flying. Some people are afraid of being rejected. Some people are afraid of snakes, rodents, spiders, and all sorts of things. And of course, there are many of us who have a fear of dying or death. Trust me, those are just a few of the fears. If I were to do a personal inventory of my own fears, I would surely include the fear of aging, the fear of something bad happening to a loved one, or the fear of having lived a life that was absent of purpose or meaning, and more. In a more lighthearted way, perhaps I fear that no one really listens to my sermons, which might not be so much a fear as a reality. Oh, I wrote a book and put it in there and actually sold 100 copies of it. Surprising. We're told by scholars and professionals that it's when we are not able to identify the exact source of our fears that we are not able to remove the anxiety brought on by that fear. Some of us then live day by day with that anxiety. We don't know how to relieve it or to remove it. Do you watch the news? That source alone can be the foundation for enormous anxiety about where our society goes and what our role is going to be in it, not to mention the future for our children and for our grandchildren. For me, there's a persistent anxiety or fear of the what-if possibilities of the future. What if? One very interesting aspect of fear is that it's not only an internal feeling, but has an external expression. Our faces can provide strong evidence of fear or anxiety. You don't think about it. Did you know that the expressions that you feel for fear and surprise are almost identical and are often confused? Both are shown by your raised eyebrows, but fear-raised eyebrows are straighter, and surprise eyebrows are curved. Are you practicing that, some of you? I see you making faces out there. But there are other differences, too. An expression of fear will show an eyelid that is raised higher and lips that are more tense as opposed to more open mouth when you're surprised. We're told that it should be easy to distinguish between those facial expressions, but to be honest with you, I don't pay very much attention to that. I really should, but I don't, so I can't tell if you're surprised or fearful. But you look pretty just the same. Fear, however, does have a purpose in our lives, and that is to help us avoid or reduce any harm to ourselves or to others. In the past, we may have learned ways to protect ourselves in a dangerous situation. When I was in elementary school back decades ago, the United States was in a Cold War with Russia, and there was a constant fear that we might be attacked. So school children were trained to dive under their desk when told to, as training for safety. I don't know if any of you remember that. Some of you are too young. Sadly, today that training is for all school children to avoid shootings. That might be a memory for you too, As we are warned about potential earthquakes, what are you supposed to do when the big earthquake hits the Northwest? We learn to train ourselves to stop a threat. As noted earlier, fear is not only a negative emotion, but can actually serve an important role in the effort to keep us and others safe. Tackling fear can assist us in overcoming our anxieties from a positive perspective. I never seemed to mind being in high places as long as I never looked down. When I was visiting a friend in a law office in downtown Seattle on the 32nd floor of a building, has a beautiful view of the Puget Sound. I was very comfortable as long as I was looking out across the waters to West Seattle. But the moment I looked down, I had to back up about 50 feet. So a friend suggested that if I wanted to overcome that fear, I should go with him to the Space Needle, which now has a glass floor in the viewing area. Well, you'll not be surprised when I tell you that I did not eliminate my fear of high places at the Space Needle. The only thing that happened was it saved me a lot of money from never having to pay the expense of going up in that elevator again. What we often fail to consider is that fear has a purpose or a function, and usually that function is to avoid or perhaps reduce any harm to us or someone else. Most of us have learned to be taught the ability to protect ourselves in some dangerous situations so that a threat can be stopped. When there is an immediate threat, our attention is drawn in full to that danger, enabling us to react quickly. In doing this immediate reaction, we can actually save our lives or the life of another person almost without thinking about it. Have you ever slammed on brakes in your car to avoid rear-ending the vehicle in front of you? Or have you grabbed your child or someone else to pull them away from traffic when they don't pay attention to oncoming cars? Or perhaps you've seen in the media someone jumping into the water to save another person from drowning. Psychologists tell us that there are three basic reactions to fear that are preset in our minds. Preset. So what are they? Fight, flight, freeze. If we fight, we jump into action immediately without thinking, but trusting our instincts to help eliminate the threat, whatever that might be. I experienced that not long ago when I stumbled across and fell into the street in Marysville. And two young women ran up behind me and helped me up just to avoid an oncoming car. They were fighters. They fought fear, the fear that I might be hurt. The second reaction is to flee or back away from a possible threat. My coworker, who had a very defined fear of insects, fled his office at the sight of one teeny tiny spider. In doing so, he avoided a confrontation and removed himself from the threat he felt of being bitten. When we respond to fear or a threat by freezing, we place ourselves in a standoff that is resolved later. Not feeling competent or able to meet a threat, we simply engage in a waiting game of sorts. A visit to a dentist's office for routine cleaning can elevate our anxieties to drilling and scraping and worse, shots. If we have any level of fear about having our teeth worked on, that is, if you still have your natural teeth. I do. If we have any level of fear about having our teeth worked on, we become alarmed when the dentist tells the hygienist, "Let me look at that x-ray again. That doesn't look good." Fear freezes, mostly because we have no clue what the outcome or the threat will be. So many of these examples of fear are ordinary at best and very common for many of us. Unfortunately, fear or threat can also be experienced in our religious life. Suppose you're a newly converted Baptist teenager trying hard to fit into this thing called church. Then the minister says, if you do this, you're going straight to hell. Or worse, if you don't do this and don't believe this, you're already bound for hell. The very real threat of not making it to heaven, or worse, not meeting all the expectations of the church, lived with me for a very long time. Imagine how deeper that fear became when I realized I wasn't straight and I would surely have no place in the church, much less to respond to the calling of a minister. So one day in the depth of anxiety and fear, I decided to be a fighter of fear. I stood up for myself, assured that this God I was terrified of knew everything about me and had decided I was perfectly fine to do some church work. How's that for doing this work? Now for 60 years. Next Saturday, September the 16th, will be the anniversary of my 60th year as a licensed minister and 50th year as an ordained minister. Well, I think that came about because I had a fear of hell? No. I'm pretty sure if there is such a place, a lot of it is here on earth these days. A lot of those fantastic or fanatic preachers will probably be there too. So I think I'll just pass on going there. So let me finish this time of sharing with this question. What is Skagit Unitarian Universalist Fellowship afraid of? I don't know the answer to that for you, but I know the answer to that to the church I now serve. We're afraid that we might not be there for someone when they are in need. We're afraid that people might come and go without feeling the sense of belonging there. We fear that financially we'll come to the end of our rope and like 700 churches every month, we'd have to close our doors. But the worst fear any congregation or church has is that they don't matter. So let me put to rest that fear for this church. You matter. You've changed lives. You've welcomed into your faith family those seeking a home. And let me offer my thanks for this church and its members for being fighters of fear. As you would say from my southern roots, don't y'all be scared, you done good. And I am grateful that in the 16 years that I've been coming here, I've never been afraid of speaking my mind in this congregation. I've been afraid of Rosemary Stevens.
Who hasn't?
Anyway, sorry about that.